The format of tonight's meeting will be a main speaker who will speak for 25 minutes, followed by our information break and the anniversary celebrants. Our main speaker tonight is Jerry.
It's okay. No problem.
Heard me? Yes. We always like to make a big entrance in Alcoholics Anonymous. My name's Jerry. I'm an alcoholic. And it was my request, because I really don't need the lectern, and I was told to eat the microphone. So rather than trying to eat it like this, I figured I'll just hit it straight on. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's marvelous to see old friends make new friends. I want to especially welcome our newcomers to Alcoholics Anonymous. I did not understand what alcoholism was until I found you. I kamikazed into AA. I was 26 years old. I was homeless. I was unemployable and suicidal. I did not understand that I was an alcoholic. And for those of you that are new, I can say unequivocally, this is the most important thing that has ever happened in my life, was to find sobriety and to find AA. It has changed everything. My attitude, my philosophy, my behaviors, my whole outlook upon life has changed because of this magnificent program. And when I was new, I didn't really want what you had here. I was introduced to AA a year prior to getting sober in the Tarzana Treatment Center, a psychiatric hospital in Los Angeles. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, you guys don't take anything? We're talking complete abstinence? I can't take a Placidil. I'm old school. I'm BC. I'm before crack. I've been sober for 41 years, and it's been the most marvelous journey. But back then, I mean, I can't take a Valium. I mean, come on. I can't have a glass of wine. And nope, it's total abstinence. So I just couldn't embrace that concept. But if you're new, buckle your safety belts. We don't want you to fly out the window. I want to welcome my new friend who I know from Los Angeles, Kaylee, my friend Lori, my friend Bill, my friend Jeff. Great to see Peggy again, see all these marvelous people. AA is a portal to infinite possibility, infinite opportunity, infinite optionality. It's freedom from a hopeless state of mind and body. And my early life, I had a lot of suffering. My parents divorced when I was 2. I was put into a foster home in Pacoima, California, which is kind of a rough and tumble area in the northeast part of the San Fernando Valley. When I was 8, I moved back in with my mother, my brother, and I. And my earliest emotions, I felt tremendous fear. I was in tremendous anxiety and fear. And rage. Those were my two primary emotions as a child. My very first entrepreneurial venture was I had beat up a kid in school, and I was taken to the principal's office. And the next day, I felt I hadn't completed that job. So I gave a friend of mine my nickel milk money to beat him up again. And so you can see, you know, that there was manipulation and craziness starting in the early part of my life. At the age of 13, I had my first drink. We had a marvelous beverage back then called Red Mountain Wine. by the way, this was a high-yield return on your invested capital. This was $1.49 for a gallon. Not a half gallon, an entire gallon. And you drink this, your lips would turn purple. it had never seen a grape. I think it had, you know, red dye number 8 in there and some alcohol. But I remember I was 13 years old. I did not like the taste of alcohol, this first drink, but I loved the effect. I remember feeling it radiate to my limbs, and a sense of warmth and a sense of immediate connection that everything was okay. My very first drink. And I literally made a decision. I never wanted to be without that feeling again. Day one. I know this is an AA meeting, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I grew up, I'm a product of the 60s, so there were other things involved. I was an intravenous drug user at 16, living in Southern California, which is remarkable that I survived that. I was on methadone maintenance for 3.5 years. I drank alcoholically while I was on methadone. I can't even believe I survived that phase of my life. I love what William Burroughs said about methadone. It's like treating a Scotch addict with bourbon, which I... But I identify as an alcoholic because alcoholism is where it all started and where it was, you know, peppered throughout my drinking life and to the very end. And also, if you're new, I want to share with you that Alcoholics Anonymous is free. It doesn't cost you a nickel. It's a beautiful thing. If you're spending money to get here, it may help you to get to Alcoholics Anonymous. But I want you to know that Alcoholics Anonymous is for fun and for free. It's one alcoholic sharing with another. And the process, you know, my first month on the program, I had nowhere to live. And people took me in. I was bouncing around on people's couches. Somebody gave me a big book. And I was very, very sick. All those years of alcohol and substance abuse had really taken its toll. I had hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C by the time I got here. I was a total and utter train wreck. But you guys have put me back together again. I have a fantastic life today. I have a life beyond anything I could have ever imagined, and it's all because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new, there's really never been anything in the history of mankind with the efficacy for treating alcoholic addiction like the 12 steps. No psychiatrist could help me. No group therapist could help me. No psychiatric hospital could help me. No family member could help me. No one could help me. But I found a solution here in Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a solution from a hopeless state of mind and body. My father, who I didn't really know, he was a World War II hero. He died at 35. He was in the OSS, in the China-Burma-India theater. He was a novelist. He was a very gifted man, but he was unable to parent. I didn't know him, but he died at 35 from alcoholism. I had a half-brother that committed suicide. I have a half-sister who's been on methadone maintenance for 40 years. So I learned here that this illness is progressive, it's catastrophic, it will literally shred your life and just completely shred your life, and that it's an allergy, that I have an allergy, a physical allergy, and an obsession of the mind and a spiritual deficit. And so that first 30 days, I bounced around on people's couches. I did my first inventory when I had 28 days, which will give you an idea of the level of desperation that I had. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'll do anything. And so I did my very first inventory at 28 days. I got a sponsor, obviously, in my first week or so. And interestingly, the person who was my sponsor, it was a simple act of compassion. And if you're new, and if you mean business and you're new, you will find more help than you can find anywhere in Alcoholics Anonymous. This is an action-oriented program. One of the things I love about the Atlantic Group is this is a massively action-oriented group within AA. And action is critical. I can act myself into right thinking, but I can't think myself into right acting. So, I was unemployable, as I mentioned. And so I went to a social service agency, and this was a place called Casa Dur Hamandad on Pico Boulevard in Los Angeles. And they basically were helping people that were unemployable get jobs. There was a federal program. This was 1977, 1978. There was a federal program that would pay an employer to hire someone like me. So there was no downside for the employer. I by the way, on the resume, I kind of fibbed. I was not capable of being totally honest because my resume would have read something like, you know, 1969, 1970, occupation, smuggling drugs across the Mexican border, 1970, 71, occupation, credit card forger. I was a pioneer in identity theft. 1970, using other people's credit cards. 1972, 1973, occupation, I don't remember. Please give me this job at Merrill Lynch. I'm a go-getter. I don't know what I was doing that year. I can't recall. It's a complete blackout. But anyway, so they got me a job at the Chabad Sober Living. The Chabad Sober Living. And now, there's a lot of hope in my story because this job, if you could fog a mirror, you could get this job. So my responsibility is I sat in a beanbag and channel surfed from 11 p.m. until 8 in the morning. I just watched movies. If anybody left the asylum, I was supposed to make a phone call. I think I can handle that. So I did this job, and 3 weeks into the job, they called me and they said, Mr. Shamals, we have to have a meeting. I said, oh, great. I think I'm going to get a promotion. And they said, Mr. Shamals, we're going to have to end our association. I said, wait a minute, I'm being fired? This job requires no skills. And here's what the guy said. He said, well, you seem a little angry. You know, and I'm sure those of you who've been around a while, you see a newcomer who comes in and he smiles. Yeah, things are great, but he looks homicidal. That, you know, that was me. I was that guy. I had not felt anything for so long that my emotions, I couldn't contain myself, and I guess I scared people with my intensity and anger. So you can imagine the loss of confidence, losing a job that requires virtually no skills. And they weren't even paying me. The government was paying them to pay me. So you know how badly I must have been doing. And anyway, I call my sponsor. I say, I cannot believe this. I've been fired from a job that a chimpanzee can do. What am I going to do? He said, well, are you going to stay sober? I said, yeah. I've got no options here. I'm staying on somebody's couch. I'm on food stamps. He said, he asked me, do you have food? I said, yeah, I have food stamps. He said, you have a place to stay? I said, yeah, I'm staying on somebody's couch. He said, well, we have a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous, when one door closes, another one opens. Just hang in there. I don't know how it's going to work out for you, but if you stay sober, things are going to be okay. So I threw myself into the steps, went to meeting after meeting. I borrowed money from my mother. I got my first car, which was a Citroen, French Citroen car. Looks kind of like a Buck Rogers spaceship. I'll never forget when I bought that. I mean, I had no judgment. I mean, my ability to think was highly impaired. And what's marvelous about a sponsor is he superimposed good judgment on my completely irrational state of mind. And there was an ad for this car, and I went to it was a wig salesman. I never have met anybody in that business before or after in the human hair business, but he was a wig salesman up in Oxnard. And I went out and he said, hey, by the way, you know, you can lose a wheel on this Citroen ID19 and it will still go. I said, I'll take it. I have no idea why this was an important feature, but I bought that car and I would buzz around. It had a little pneumatic lever where you could raise it up. You could literally drive through a flash flood in a Citroen. You can raise them with. And so I would buzz around going to my meetings. Then I finished my inventory. six and seven, made a list of everybody that I heard. And I really tried to do everything as meticulously as I could. I got another job. I did well at that job. I got my first apartment in Venice Beach, where we say where the debris meets the sea. And one-room apartment, and it was mine. My life, you know, I'm 27 years old. I've got a little apartment at the beach. I'm going to AA meetings. I'm doing what you guys tell me to do. I got a new job. I started to do well at that job. And AA, I could see that this was the solution for me to recreate my life, was to be an active member in Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you're new, you may resist. You may see things that you don't like. Concentrate on working on your own backyard. I remember a guy told me, he said, Jerry, forget about judging. Just work on Jerry Shamal. Work on your little patch and go to work on your rebuilding your life through the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous. And focus on that, on sobriety, on the solution. And we are solution-oriented people in AA. And so I started to do well at that job. I decided, by the way, I made all my amends. I went all over, you know, the country, and I had ripped off Bloomingdale's with a credit card. I walked in. I said, here's $1,000. I think it's what I owe you. And they said, they couldn't believe somebody was coming in and giving them $1,000 for something they had no record of. And one amends that I made, the woman said, you know, you've restored my faith in human beings by doing this. And that's Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, AA is a force for good. It's an unbelievable program. And here's another thing. You know, if you're a business person, I'm a business person now. I became an entrepreneur, which is a fancy word for somebody who's unemployable, so they have to start their own company to get a better job. But is that it's the highest yield return. The time and energy that I've put into AA, come on, if you're new, it's an hour a day, 2 hours a day. You go to a meeting, you go to the meeting after the meeting, you help people, you get a commitment, and you have an infinite return. It's incalculable. You have freedom from drugs and alcohol. I mean, how can you even put a price tag on that? It's a phenomenal high-yield return. I always like to look at it that way because it's an infinite return. And I have to remember, even with 41 years, I'm not out of the woods. I had a motorcycle accident last year in Sun Valley, Idaho. Disrupted my life. And what I find is really important for me is to rededicate myself. I'm going to 30 and 30 right now. And really putting myself back in the center of Alcoholics Anonymous. So I made all those amends. I had a little food obsession that hit me at about this juncture. I couldn't stop eating. I became kind of like a grazing animal where where food became, I mean, like I became obsessed with food. And I went into Overeaters Anonymous. I know this is an AA meeting, but this is just one of the obsessions that happened for me in early sobriety. And was I a nut job, man. I'm telling you, I was just absolutely crazy. The first 5 years, I was bouncing off the walls. But I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning with a craving for Winchell's donuts. And I would get dressed like I'm on my way to the connection. I'd get really dressed. I'd get in that Citroen. I'd start. It would rise up. I'd go over to the Winchell's Donuts on Lincoln. You know, it's 4 in the morning, 3 o'clock. The only people that are out are tweakers. And I'm in there. I'm buying 2 apple fritters. Now, these things, they weigh about 2 kilos a piece, man. I'm not kidding. They're just deep fried dough with some apples and sugar sprinkled on them. And I would pound a couple of those down. I'd go across the street to the 7-Eleven. I'd get a pint of Haagen-Dazs. And this is pre-Yo-Fro, so it's like, you know, 2,000 calories in a pint. And I would take the lid, and I would just spin it into the trash can. We are not going to need the lid. And I would just I would just pound it down. And I have this totally irrational, you know, early AA member thought, Gee, I think I know my limit, 6,000 calories in one sitting. I think I'll cap it off with a Diet Coke, like it made any difference at all. I would drink, and then I would get in that Citroen in a complete sugar ozone. I'm sober another day. I made it another day, clean and sober. You know, I would get home and just crash, get up in the morning and hungover, food hungover, you know, and get another couple dozen donuts on my way to the office. I mean, I could not stop eating. I got so fat that my inner thighs would chafe when I get rashes, and I went up to almost 300 pounds. Anyway, I attacked that like I do everything else, and I was able to kind of mitigate the thing, but it was very challenging in that point in my sobriety. I was just nuts. I went to OA, and I got an OA sponsor. I'll never forget, they get kind of rigid in OA. I said, well, I'm going to substitute the summer squash for broccoli. She said, no, you can't do that. You committed to the broccoli. I said, come on. I'm calling in my food plan. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to substitute. She hung up on me. Click. Boom. So anyway, I lost most of that weight. But then I had cleared out all the food in my apartment, but I kept a bag of raisins hiding behind the plates. And after doing this and losing, you know, 60 pounds, I said, you know, I've been perfect on this thing. I need a raisin. It's not on my eating plan, but I'm going to have a raisin. I ate that raisin. It was like, oh, my God. It was fantastic. You know, I didn't have anything sweet. And then I ate the whole bag of raisins. Then I was at an Italian restaurant, you know, getting scampi, you know. And before you knew it, I gained all that weight back. Anyway, I've had a lot of problems, as you can tell. A lot of issues, more than just alcoholism. And anyway, that company, I didn't know what I was doing, but I learned, and we took that from one room, and me by myself, we had 350 employees in Los Angeles, another 400 employees in Canada. We won the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award, which is like the Academy Awards for business. Fantastic. I was able to exit those businesses. I've been married for 34 years. My wife has got 42 years of sobriety. My son, who's 31, he's got 7 years of sobriety, runs in the family. But I got to tell you, it's all because of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a new career. I'm 68, and I believe most of my productivity is ahead of me. I have a new career. I wanted to do this all my life, and it just happened, and I'm so excited about this new career that I'm involved in. And if you're new, I hope that you keep coming back. I hope that you give yourself the chance of recreating your life in Alcoholics Anonymous. And by the way, I want to finish with this because my time is running out, is that AA is, as I mentioned, an action program. So effort counts. Work counts. I used to be the short-term angle guy, always looking for the fast way to get stuff done, always cheating. But work and effort counts. That's what's so marvelous about this group. It will lift you up and help you to move forward with your life. And I have four primary objectives today. Number one is to get rid of the bondage of self every day. Number two is to lean into the light of Alcoholics Anonymous. The meetings, the spiritual principles. What this does is put you on a different frequency, put you on a different bandwidth. It's a program of optimism. It's a program of faith. It's a program of hope. And so by surrendering to you and staying teachable and leaning into the light, great events will come to pass. And number three is cultivate gratitude every day. I must remember where I'm coming from, and that's very important. And number four, say yes to life. Say yes to life. See where it goes. And if it weren't for rooms like this and people like you, I would have missed it all. Thank you so much for my life.